Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. I might have been able to stretch that to the weather if I tried really, really hard, but I couldn't. It's actually an interesting time at the radio station because we're getting close to the start of baseball. We're less than a month away of the shortened MLB season. We're playing really the final of the stretch of the games that you would hear from the replay games, the archive games of Cardinals baseball. And before you know it, you know what's going to be happening? You're going to be listening to Cardinals baseball on the radio where you don't know the outcome. You have no idea, which is very exciting. I'm really looking forward to those times. So welcome to Overnight America. And I got to just give you an update on something I've been working on. I've been talking a little bit about it here and there. And I'm pretty excited because I am this close to completing the Jim White radio special. If you listen to the Robert Hyland special that I put together and aired last month, it's very similar to that. The sad thing is there's not as much audio saved and shows saved of Jim White as there were specials about Robert Hyland. That's a shame to me. So I am really trying to find all the best pieces I can to put this together. I got a pretty good feeling on it. I think it'll be 2 hours long, just like the Robert Hyland special. And I've been producing it. I spent the last couple hours working on it. I really thought I would complete it. But part of the problem I'm running into completing it is that I'm still trying to find parts that I think would fit, at least with the Robert Hyland special. I was able to have all of that saved, and it was just like piecing it together in the right order for me. This is a little bit different because I'm still going through and I'm still trying to find things because what I thought I had was a complete picture, but it wasn't really the case. I needed more. And then I found out as I'm putting it together, oh, I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more. It needs a little bit more meat here. So I think I'm at the spot where I have everything that I need. However, I'm on a deadline now. I put myself on a deadline because this will be the announcement for the loyal Overnight America listeners. I'm going to air this on Wednesday night starting at 10 o'clock. So from 10 to midnight, we'll be airing the Jim White special. I'm pretty close. I mean, again, I'm this close to finishing it. I feel extremely confident that I'll be able to finish it in time. What I would hate to do is come to you on Wednesday with my tail between the legs and say, I overestimated my ability to put this together. But no, I really think I'm close. So I am happy to announce this to you tonight. If you're a Jim White fan, I know so many people listen to Jim White for decades and still have many great memories of Jim. Because anytime we talk about him on the radio, we get calls and calls and calls for hours. Maybe we'll do a Jim White topic tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk about him a little bit to prepare and get ready for the special on Wednesday night. But tonight, we got a pretty packed show for you. Brad Young from Harris Dowell Fisher & Young. We'll talk about the Supreme Court decision today from Louisiana and also talk about the Central West End incident that happened over the weekend. I know we already talked about it on the show last night because it was a Sunday night thing, but still I know there's a completely different audience that may have been able to catch it today for the first time, and they want to talk about it. So that couple in the Central West End made national news, international news even. We're going to look at them, and we're going to talk to Brad Young about that as well. In the next hour after midnight, we're going to have our friend Johnny Rabbit join us and update about what he's been up to, because I know there's a lot of people wondering about him. Oh, how's Johnny doing? Is he doing okay? Yes, he's doing very well, and I wanted to bring him on the show and give you let him give you an update on the things he's up to, things he's working on while he is working from home. And also later in the show, Rich Rubino from American Politics on the Rocks. That's the name of his book. He's working on another one. He's got his blog and his also interviews that he posts online on his website, politi-geek.com. We're going to talk to him about the search for the VP. But what's interesting is how many candidates can you think of that have overcome a huge polling differential? We know as of right now, Donald Trump is way behind Joe Biden in the polls, if you put a lot of weight into that right now. So who are the candidates that were able to turn it around? We're going to talk to him about that in a great St. Louis tie into one of those. In fact, a KMOX tie with one of those candidates, too. Oh, a lot to get to on the show tonight. If you ever want to text in, you can at 314-436-7900. Our guest Brad Young coming in next. And then after that, we'll take some of your calls about that Central West End incident over the weekend on Overnight America KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Joining us now is our legal analyst. Maybe that would be the right term. He's probably the legal guru, the legal wizard. He's the guy that we go to when there's some sort of complex issue going on and we're looking for someone to explain it to us like we're in fifth grade so we can understand it. That's Brad Young from Harris, Dahl, Fisher & Young. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, Ryan, as always.
So the Supreme Court made a ruling today, and this has to do with Louisiana's abortion law. It also has a little bit to do with Texas. And it was a law that was brought up and then made its way to the Supreme Court. They strike down the restrictive abortion law by a score of 5-4. Maybe that's not a score. In the Supreme Court, what did they call it? It's a 5-4 decision.
It's a 5-4 decision, yes.
Yeah. So not like a ball game or anything like that. But what we saw before is Justice Roberts siding with the liberal justices. And we've seen that. It seems to be a common trend lately. I'm hoping that we can talk about that decision and you can explain what happened.
Well, let me very briefly set up this what this what this law in Louisiana was designed to do. It was a state regulatory provision that required any abortion clinic to be within 30 miles of a hospital and for the doctor who performs the abortion to have privileges at that hospital. And the purpose of the law was if abortions go wrong, which they sometimes do, then that person needs to go to the hospital. There has to be a hospital somewhere nearby. So that was the intent and the purpose of the law. It went up to the Supreme Court for this reason. In 2016, there was a very similar law in Texas that was struck down in a 5-4 decision. But in 2016, that was before we had Justice Kavanaugh on the court. It was before we had Justice Gorsuch on the court. So even though it was a 5-4 decision in 2016 to strike down the very similar law in Texas in 2016, it came up again this year. Mm-hmm. Now, why did it come up again? Well, in the Supreme Court, it only takes four justices to issue what's called a writ of certiorari. That means the court says, we want to hear this case. So a minority of justices, four, can actually hear a case. So the pundits, the Supreme Court pundits, were analyzing, you know, maybe the four justices who are the most conservative thought, well, hey, we've got Kavanaugh on the court this time. We didn't have him in 2016. Let's give this another shot to see if this is the year that we overturn Roe versus Wade. And ultimately, that did not happen.
Yeah, and what we've seen in the past is an interesting conclusions. And Justice Roberts, what we've seen in the last couple of Supreme Court decisions is that he normally sides with the liberals that are on the Supreme Court. But the interesting thing is when they talk about the law itself, and he writes this in his, is it assertion or he writes this in his summary? He says that it's not that the law is bad. It's that we want to stand, at least the reason why he voted to vote the way he did was because he wanted to stand on the precedent. He feels like it's not enough or whatever to overturn it. And that's what I don't understand when it comes to the Supreme Court. I thought if a case was escalated to that level, their whole intent was to interpret the law as opposed to just try to interpret precedent.
Well, in law school, this is just beat into us with a hammer all throughout law school, is this concept of stare decisis. That means if something's been decided one way in the past, then courts need to follow that decision so that there's a continuity of decision making. In other words, you don't want there to be a question about how laws will be applied or not applied if courts have already addressed the issue. Mm-hmm. So that's a long standing, that goes back to English common law hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Mm-hmm. So Justice Roberts has actually written a book that is, I forgot the title of the book, but he wrote a book several years ago about the importance of stare decisis, the importance of following decisions that courts have made and following that logic and reasoning in future cases as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So what's fascinating about this situation is that in 2016, with that Texas law we discussed, Roberts was actually in the minority decision stating that he would have upheld the Texas law. In other words, and I know this gets very confusing, but in 2016, his vote was we should be allowed, states should be allowed to regulate abortions as much as they choose. Mm-hmm. That was essentially his decision and opinion in 2016. Now, fast forward 4 years, his opinion hasn't changed. He still believes that states should be allowed to regulate abortion to the extent they feel necessary. However, because it was a 5-4 decision to strike the law down in 2016, Roberts' position is, I need to follow stare decisis more than I need to follow my own legal reasoning, so I'm going to side with the liberal justices to strike the Louisiana law.
Oh, it's so frustrating because
there's a lot of intellectual gymnastics going on here.
Yeah, it's so frustrating to think that when you're trying to interpret law and it gets to the level of the Supreme Court, the whole idea is to try to decide, all right, is it or is it not? Not necessarily what the precedent is. And that's the thing that really surprises me about all of this, because I thought the role of the Supreme Court was to help break when there is some sort of continuity question or if there is some sort of legal question that really has stumped so many people to begin with. This was supposed to be the final decision, not necessarily the final, let's look back and go to precedent. That seems to be what the lower courts should be doing, not the Supreme Court.
Correct. Correct. And so this was that one shot to say, are there, since there's allegedly, you know, six conservatives on the Supreme Court, or five conservatives on the Supreme Court, is this the time that we're going to finally overturn Roe versus Wade? And the answer to that was a resounding no. So I don't foresee the Supreme Court taking this issue up again in the foreseeable future. At some point, obviously, they will, but nothing in the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Brad Young from Harris Dowell, Fisher & Young. I have another question about something that came up this weekend just yesterday in St. Louis. Sunday, we saw that there was a protest that started in the Central West End. There was a gate that was broken. Hundreds of protesters go into a gated community, private roads, private neighborhood. So as they are marching through, there's a couple that come out of their house with firearms, the man and the woman, the man an AR-15, and the woman had you know, a smaller handheld gun. It looks like something you strap to your ankle type of concealed weapon. And they were out there and essentially making it very clear, don't mess with us. And this made national news. People from around the world, even international news, were talking about this. And it's really sparked the debate about if they could get in trouble for what they did. They were caught on video. A lot of people took different camera angles of it. The protesters shouting at them, them shouting at the protesters. They're looking at how they were handling the firearms. And people are wondering if there is some sort of castle doctrine or something that would protect them in the case that the prosecutors, or at least the city, decides to press charges against them. And this has become a debate in itself. And I was hoping you could give us your insight into what you think could happen here.
This is truly like a law school exam question, okay? Ooh. Because you throw out a fact pattern and you could go 100 different ways with this fact pattern. So let me first start, Ryan, by saying what we actually saw and what the couple did. That was clearly within the bounds of the law. They were allowed to possess those firearms. They were allowed to carry them. They were allowed to even show them. Now, they may have done it recklessly and unsafely and improperly.
Sure.
But what they did, at least what we saw, was legal.
Mm-hmm.
But now let's talk about some hypotheticals to demonstrate how this law works. One of the things that has been left out of a lot of the coverage, and I'm sure you talked about this, in fact, I know you did, you talked about this last night, was the fact that their gate to their property, they have a gated property, and the gate was torn down.
Mm-hmm. To me, that indicates that it's easily at least a private road. So I equated this to Google. So even when Google does the street views, their cars with the cameras on top will not go into private roads because they understand that's private. It could be considered trespassing. So the protesters broke through a gate. It went through this, thus, I believe, trespassing, which adds another element to it.
It does. So once they broke down that gate, at that point, at least in my opinion, legally, they could have easily said that we felt threatened. We felt that our house was threatened. We thought that our personage was threatened, that someone could have harmed me or harmed my house or harmed my spouse. So at that point, under the Castle Doctrine, one of two things could happen. If they would have shot somebody, the question would have become, does the Castle Doctrine protect them?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that, I think, is fascinating because the Castle Doctrine has two elements.
Mm-hmm.
If someone threatens you personally, then you don't have to back down. You don't have to run away and run or flee from the situation. You're allowed to defend yourself.
Yeah.
And secondly, if someone breaks into your home or dwelling or even into your personal vehicle, if you're inside a vehicle, then you have an absolute right to use deadly force if you feel that you're being threatened.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would have shot one of the protesters, hypothetically, the question becomes, how would the Castle Doctrine have dealt with that?
Mm-hmm.
If they were inside of their home, I think it would be a slam dunk, absolute, no question about it.
Yeah.
They prevail. They can't be charged. They can't be sued.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're out on their front porch or their area in front of their house, like we saw in the video,
mm-hmm.
and they start plinking protesters, okay, if that would have happened, you know, there's a real question as to whether or not they would have immunity under this Castle Doctrine, because they would have to show that those protesters out in the street were threatening themselves personally. In other
right.
words, they felt that they were personally threatened. And I don't know that we saw that on the video to the extent that would justify the use of deadly force had they done so.
So maybe the question here is they were pointing the weapon and they were not really responsible at the way they were handling the weapon. I was reading some comments on Facebook when I posted this up on my Facebook page, and I was asking what's the first thing that comes to mind, and the thing was no training. It looked like they had zero training on how to use those firearms, and I agree. So let's say they point it in the direction of the people in the street. So there might not be a specific target they were pointing at, because just by watching the video, it looked like they were not specifically aiming at one individual. Perhaps they were aiming it in their direction or towards them. So can they find themselves being charged for doing something like that while they stand on their property?
See, I don't believe so. And here's the reason why. The courts in particular, and under the Castle Doctrine, there's always this idea of balancing the use of force. Mm-hmm. So if someone is busting out your headlight, is it justifiable to shoot them and kill them? And the answer to that in most instances would be, no, it isn't. But if someone's threatening to come onto your property, is it an applicable use of force to show the firearm to say, if you approach me any closer, I'm going to shoot you? That would seem to be an appropriate use of force to say, stay where you are, stay off of my property. If you come any closer, I might shoot you. Mm-hmm. That would seem to be a very appropriate use of force. Now, you can say that it was a unsafe use of force. It demonstrated a lack of training, but legally, it was an appropriate use of force.
Right. I think that's an interesting approach to it, and I think it's a good approach to it. I've been posting rants and different things on social media. A lot of people have been, and it's interesting to see not only the support, but people that do not support. It's like almost 50-50 down the line. I think this is why it's one of those international stories now. People are pointing to it, and the people that live here, they certainly don't like that this is the image that people will get when they Google search St. Louis, you know. It's because it's out of context, of course, but I'm really fascinated to see how this rolled out. I understand the mindset in a way. I understand the mindset that, hey, we've seen everything else that's been going on in the city, and we know that the police response has been, let it be. We're not allowing that to happen to our house. I understand they feel threatened. I can totally 100% understand that, because this is your house. This is, you know, your place of dwelling. Your family's in there. I totally understand that. So this is one of those interesting legal questions, and I think you may be the first one to call it. This somehow is going to make it into a legal textbook in the future and will be studied.
Oh, I promise you, next year, if there's any law students right now that are listening, this will be on your exam next year, I promise you. Promise you. 100%.
Are you making any appearances in the near future on KMOX?
I'm probably going to start, at least hopefully going to start coming back to overtime in the very near future as the world starts to reopen. But until then, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm hoping Steve gives you a call, because in a few weeks I'll be traveling up to a buddy's wedding in Michigan. So I have a few days off, and I know that he normally waits until, oh, I don't know, the week before to try to figure out who might be coming in. So who knows? Maybe you'll be doing this show here in a few weeks. Hopefully you will.
Well, only if producer Mike Anderson lets me into the studio.
That's always a if. You never know. Brad Young from Harris, Dahl, Fisher & Young. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Always happy to do it.
And he joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line on Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And Overnight America is with you live tonight up until 2 o'clock. So I wanted to spend some time again talking about what happened in the Central West End. It made a lot of news. You may be here in St. Louis and know exactly where that location is. You may be listening in one of the other states that KMOX reaches at night, and you still know about the story out of the Central West End. You probably saw the photos. You may have saw the videos. But what you ended up seeing was a couple in front of their house, armed, not wanting to take any chances with the protesters that were walking through their neighborhood. In this case, it was a private neighborhood, a gated community. It's a private road. And when the protesters came by protesting Mayor Crewson, they came out of their house. And what interesting and crazy stories pursued from there. In fact, the homeowner and also his lawyer speaking today, we might have some clips to play about what was going through their minds during that time. But really, if you want to talk about it, you can at 314-436-7900. I've also posted this up online at Ryan Recker Radio, but Jerome has been holding on. How about we go to Jerome first? What's going on?
Well, I wanted to talk about the Milton yuppies that you were discussing.
What did you call them? The what yuppies?
Militant yuppies.
Oh, militant yuppies. Okay. So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, it kind of looked hoaxy or staged, but to hear that still pictures and it basically people are saying, you know, they didn't know how to handle an armed weapon, that makes more sense. But nonetheless, I think it's absolutely within the – I'm proud of them. I'm proud of the melting guppies. If I see them in person, I probably wouldn't want nothing to do with them because they don't look like my type of people. But what they did, what they stood up for themselves, once you break down a gate, you're no longer a peaceful protester. Once you're walking in a mob, you are no longer a peaceful protester if you're in a mob and you're walking through a gate. One person in the gate, well, that's minimal threat if you have two people with a gun. You got a mob of people that also have weapons, because a lot of people are leaving that out. The media is a lot of it, that the people in the group, the mob, the rioters, they're not protesters, they're rioters, because they tore up stuff. Once you do that, it's like being a juvenile, and then you murder someone, and you're an adult. That's how it goes in my life.
Well, so the interesting thing about the gate, I mean, they really mutilated that gate to get through it, and then they go through. It's a private road. Obviously, it's trespassing at that point. And I think Brad Young made some pretty good points about their defense in all of this, and really it would be shocking to me if they decided to put up charges, if the city did. If they actually went through with that type of threat, I would be very surprised if that's what they did.
I'd be terrified. I mean, like, you have a child, you have a wife. If these goons come down your street, you're going to want to do something to defend them. And if you can scare them off with a Rambo machine gun, all the better.
Rambo. He was barefoot, wasn't he? But the other thing is, if it was me, there's no way I would want my wife out with me, right? She would be inside sheltering in place, even if I decided to do something like that.
Here's the bad thing about that. Yeah. You give somebody a weapon and don't know how to use it, they are more dangerous than a person that has a weapon and knows how to use it.
Absolutely true. Jerome, good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in. And that is such a good point when it comes to accidental firings. We'll take some more of your calls coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.